Meet Joseph Smith, President Paul H. Dunn, Paul H. Dunn, Conference Report, April 1970, pages 70-73, My Brothers and Sisters, Both Seen and Unseen Throughout the World, This is a Wonderful Occasion. Sister Dunn and I are currently residing in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It is steeped in American tradition. It was the dwelling place for the Washingtons, the Franklins, the Reveres, the Hancocks. The story is told there of a dialogue that was supposed to have occurred between Mrs. Paul Revere and her husband. It is reported that she said, "I don't care who's coming tonight, it's my turn to have the horse. I am grateful, my brothers and sisters, for my turn here, to bear solemn witness to things that are very close to my heart, and which I believe completely." Birthplace of Joseph Smith, 130 miles north of Boston, is one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. Nestled in the rolling green hills of Windsor County, Vermont, is the birthplace of the prophet of the Lord Joseph Smith. On the grounds of the original home site stand two buildings housing a Bureau of Information and a religious display center. Recently, on one of our trips to the memorial, we had our young daughter Kelly with us. She has been there many times and is always noticeably affected by the inner peace and spirit that prevails. She never leaves that building without signing her name in the guest book provided for visitors and giving her evaluation in the column provided for comments. On this particular day she wrote, "The church is the greatest thing in my life. My wife and I were obviously filled with joyful emotion. Why? Because the church and the gospel with its ordinances is a way of life, and by following its teachings we as a family are finding the true joy and happiness we all seek." 150 years ago, it was just 150 years ago this spring that a young lad with simple faith asked a very important question: which church is right? That beautiful spring morning in 1820, God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ revealed themselves to a young boy whose name will never perish. That boy was Joseph Smith, the first prophet of this dispensation. For the past 2 years we have been living in New England and have spent a great deal of time at the birthplace of the prophet. The Lord has hallowed that spot, and each time we gaze upon the granite shaft that pierces the sky over the place where he was born, our hearts fill with joy and the Spirit whispers to us, "He was indeed a prophet." One of the best gifts I could give you this morning is an opportunity to know the prophet Joseph Smith a little better. I shall not undertake to explain to you the accomplishments of Joseph Smith, but I want to tell you about the man, the seer, and the prophet. I think it is important that we know the how and why of his life, for to do so is to increase our understanding and appreciation of this prince of our present dispensation. Even Joseph Smith, the man of whom Brigham Young said, "Jesus Christ accepted, no better man ever lived." Life of Joseph Smith, a life that has become a candle of the Lord, is a life that all would wish to see more clearly. Such a life was Joseph Smith's, a life given in the service of others and a life of love. We declare that he was, without a doubt, one of the most noble sons of our eternal Heavenly Father. He was a tall, well-built man, over 6 feet in height and about 210 pounds. He had a light skin, light hair, and blue eyes that could gaze into the heart of any man. He was as quick as a squirrel, strong as a lion, and mild as a lamb. One young man said of him that he wore no whiskers, and that altogether, he presented a very formidable appearance, being a man of gentlemanly bearing. A young lady said that there were no pictures of him in existence that can compare with the majesty of his presence. His wife said no one could capture his true countenance because his expression and countenance changed with his moods. Remarkable blend of qualities, as one looks more deeply into his personality, experiences, and character, one can see a remarkable blend of Christ-like qualities. His peers spoke of his solemnity in sacred moments, yet are much pleased at his prophetic wit, his love of music, poetry, drama, and, very notably, his hearty laughter. They were continually amazed at his versatility and changing pace. He could move from studying the scriptures or any of his four foreign languages to playing ball, wrestling, jumping at a mark, and back again to studying. All people could recognize his easy jovial appearance when he was engaged in activities of fun, but they were quick to notice dislike of anything that was degrading or vulgar. He could reprove betimes with sharpness and always showed forth afterwards an increase of love. "I am determined," he said, "while I lead this church to lead it right." Joseph Smith was a rugged and free outdoor man. He delighted in physical work and taught that it was a God-given principle to keep our bodies strong. During the building of the Nauvoo Temple, he would often work in the rock quarry. Many people learned of the restoration of the gospel while working at his side in quarry, in the forest, or the hayfield. Spiritual gifts. Joseph Smith had a strong and abiding testimony of Jesus the Christ and never let an opportunity pass in which he could tell others of the knowledge he had. When he spoke, he seemed to shake the very earth, and the people said that he had the appearance of one that was heaven-born while preaching. Not only did he speak with the Spirit, but the records show that at one time or another in his life he possessed every spiritual gift, and one of his most profound teachings was uttered in these words when he said, "I have made this my rule, when God commands, do it." In carrying out God's commandments, Joseph possessed the rare Christ-like combination of what Carl Sandburg called velvet and steel, which can move people with gentleness, meekness, and love unfeigned, without threat or force. If the world would only learn God's commandments and live like Joseph Smith, what a wonderful world this would be. President McKay often told us that we become like what we love. Joseph loved Christ and became like him. He said, "I want to become a smooth shaft in the quiver of the Almighty. My voice is always for peace, and Jesus Christ is my great counselor." Endured unspeakable persecution. He was a man, like any of us, but unlike us today. He endured unspeakable suffering and persecution. He was driven from 4 states, lost 6 children in birth, was tarred and feathered, was poisoned. Yet he led his people with great courage and said, "I cannot deny what I know to be true." Brigham Young said that he lived 1,000 years in 38, and although he was mobbed and beaten, Lydia Bailey said, "His face shone with the mellow radiance of an astral lamp. He led like Moses, spoke like Peter, and wrote like Paul." Wilford Woodruff said, "His mind, like Enoch's, expands as eternity, and God alone can comprehend his soul. Knowledge of gospel unsurpassed. In knowledge and understanding of the gospel, he was unsurpassed." Joseph Smith left on record 1,500 statements that spoke of the future. Many hundreds of these have already come to pass, and in our own lifetime we will see the fulfillment of many more. You may pick at random any of his writings and find more about the last days than in the entire Bible. His writings, letters, and spoken words are so extensive that it seems almost impossible that one man could do so much in so little time. The Book of Mormon, the books of Moses and Abraham, and the Doctrine and Covenants, all of which he recorded under Revelation, total 830 pages, and his own history, speeches, and minutes total over 3,200 pages. We have been called the happiest people on earth, and much of our happiness comes from living the truths revealed to us by Joseph Smith. If any man was taught by God and angels, Joseph Smith was that man. He was a spiritual amphibian, with 1 foot on earth and 1 foot in heaven. Edward Stevenson says, he possessed an infinity of knowledge, and Wilford Woodruff said, he seemed a fountain of knowledge from whose mouth streams of eternal wisdom flowed. Parley P. Pratt said, he could gaze into eternity, penetrate the heavens, and comprehend all worlds. America, a choice land. Joseph Smith taught that this great nation of America was a choice land that came into being under the Lord's direction, and he bore a strong testimony of the divine importance of the work done by the founding fathers of this great country. He said, "The Constitution of the United States is a glorious standard. It is founded in the wisdom of God. It is a heavenly banner. It is to all those who are privileged with the sweets of its liberty, like the cooling shades and refreshing waters of a great rock in a thirsty and weary land. It is like a great tree under whose branches men from every clime can be shielded from the burning rays of the sun." He never asked for a light load, but rather he prayed for a strong back, and he was indeed a prophet, for his constant plea was, "O Lord, what shall I do?" Those who listened to his prayers marveled at the spirit he presented and learned in their own lives that the heavens could literally be opened. They understood what he meant when he taught, "It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God, and to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another." True nature of God. Someone has said that the greatest of all discoveries is when a man discovers God. Joseph Smith made available to the world, with no exceptions, the true nature and knowledge of God, a personal and loving Father. He taught that God is our Father and that Christ is not only his Son, but also our elder brother. The Christian churches of the day said, "We believe in God," but Joseph Smith said, "I saw God and Christ and they did in reality speak to me." He was persecuted for saying that he had seen a vision, yet it was true. Not only has he made known to us that God exists, but also that he is ever willing to answer our prayers. Martyrdom. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, says a great hymn, and if Joseph Smith gave us nothing else, he set the example whereby we could have our desires fulfilled and our hearts made clean and pure. Thus, on his way to Carthage before he was martyred, he said, "My conscience is void of offense, I am not afraid to die." He spoke as a man whose life could stand inspection before the master. On that fateful day in 1844, he was killed by a mob of about 150 men with painted faces. At the time of his death it was written, "The blow that subdued Joseph Smith has palsied the arm of Mormonism." They will now scatter in the four winds and gradually merge in the great mass of society. This congregation today and the millions in our listening audience refute those words. The enemies of God were sure that by killing the prophet, they had destroyed the truth, yet it lives, greater and stronger with each passing year. It is indestructible, for it is the work of God, and knowing that it is the work of God, we know that Joseph Smith, who was God's chosen servant, is a prophet, holy and true, for he said, I obtained power or the principles of truth and virtue, which will last when I am dead and gone. It is my personal witness that he was and is a prophet. His mantle fell upon succeeding prophets and rests upon the shoulders of Joseph Fielding Smith today. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.